Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports with two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor, select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas, play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Aloha on a beautiful Tuesday, and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. I am joined, as always, by G. Hey Wiley, Armani Buckets, and Brandon Deutsch. How are we doing on this glorious Tuesday?
I'm still reveling in that Rangers win, so I'm epic right now. Oh, heck yeah, man. Go. I mean, it may only be Tuesday, but I'm super psyched. I can't wait. So nice. I'm looking forward to them. Just even making it to the second round is a blessing. So I'm on cloud nine.
Yesterday was an odd day because it gave you a preview of what's to come. No hockey. No basketball. It was only baseball. Ugh. Not to say that that's a bad thing, but get ready because it's almost upon us. That time of the year is almost upon us.
Yep. It's a coming.
Yep. I'm doing well. Can't wait for the draft lottery, actually, tonight. I know there's a playoff game. That's obviously more important to people, but it's going to be interesting to see who gets the top pick, even in a very weak draft like this one.
Yeah. By the way, Buckus, it is bad. If you do a daily sports talk show to not have games, it does stink. But we do have games. We do have games, so that's a good thing. Let's get to today's headlines brought to you by Circa Sports. Circa Million, Circa Survivor Pro Football Contest are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details. Hit it, G-Hey!
Well, the Eastern Conference Finals begin tonight, guys, with the Boston Celtics taking on the Miami Heat. Circa Sports has the Celtics as the favorites, as they should, in the series at 175. Who do you have tonight and in this series?
Listen, I got the Miami Heat tonight. I'm not just saying that because I'm a Celtics hater, and I am a Celtics hater. If you're a Lakers fan, you cannot be rooting for the Boston Celtics. And by the way, the Miami Heat have a little bit of Lakers blood. They're still run by Pat Riley. If you watched Winning Time, you saw the how big Pat Riley was to the Showtime Lakers. So listen, I am picking the Miami Heat tonight. I do think this will be a good series. I think it'll be a lot closer than people are saying. Do think the Celtics go to the finals, which means I'm going to have to sweat out this NBA Finals. No matter who's in it, I cannot have the Celtics have one more title than the Lakers, and they had that for quite some time. So even though the Lakers won it in the bubble, they're tied. 17 titles for the Lakers, 17 for the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, and I think the Lakers deserve that karma considering the way they've operated as an organization the past couple of years. Maybe that'll light a fire under LeBron. Might happen for the best reason.
Yeah.
If the Celtics win the championship, now they're ahead, all of a sudden the Lakers are going to be like, oh my God.
I like what you're saying, Brandon. So maybe if the Celtics win, that'll fire up the Lakers too.
LeBron's usually fired up, but maybe the rest
of
the team.
I'm going to use that as a silver lining if the worst happens and the Celtics win. Up until that moment, I will not think of that, but Brandon, I will adopt that mindset. If the Celtics win, I will say this is the fuel 100% for the fire that the Lakers
100%. I do think Boston wins tonight. They've got the momentum going into this game. The Heat will come back and win game two, but I feel like this is going to be a 1-1 series going into Boston.
Yeah, I like that call. 1-1 going back to Boston. Regardless of who wins tonight, I still like the Celtics in this series. The concerning thing is Marcus Smart's injury, but I mean, I think the Celtics are more being, I don't want to say they're faking it because I'm sure he is injured, but I think they're being more coy than anything and trying to keep their chips close to their chest. I don't think that the injury is going to stop him from being that defensive player of the year candidate, and they're going to need him because Jimmy Butler's averaging like 28, 29 points a game, and I'm assuming that Marcus and Jaylen Brown are probably going to be guarding Jimmy.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know nobody likes to hear this, but I'm going with the consensus of the group. I mean, Celtics all day because, first of all, I need to make that money, that 20-1 odds for
that
the
is,
Celtics
yes, right.
to win the East. But they also are getting points tonight, guys.
That's right.
Boston's getting points.
They got two.
Yeah. Lined open up at two. Some books have it at 2.5, but... I don't know if Marcus is still playing even with that injury, even if he's playing, that defense is killer.
Yeah.
I don't even with the numbers for Miami. I know that they're high up there on the defensive end as well. I feel like they need more. Miami needs more offensive production than Boston does. Boston just has that automatically in their arsenal. So yeah. I'm going with taking Boston to cover tonight, and I'm going to take them for the W as well. And I don't think that's going out on a limb. Well, there's been a lot of talk lately, guys, about the bubble with the Celtics and the Heat back in the conference finals after failing to make it past the first round last year. Patrick Beverley, talking. He took a jab at the Lakers championship in 2020 by saying it was a bubble title. Do you guys agree with him?
No. Listen. Patrick Beverley, like, everyone's got to, like, calm down with all these, Patrick Beverley is the next superstar in sports media. This guy's never won a thing. For him to put that disrespect on Chris Paul's name is ridiculous. I'm not saying Chris Paul is the greatest player of all time, but he is the point guard, in my view. He's one of the greatest point guards of all time. And so, listen, does he have a championship to his name? No. Look at what Chris Paul's done. First ballot Hall of Famer. If you want to list the top 5 point guards of all time, you don't know a thing about basketball if Chris Paul's not on that list with what he's done in his career.
To that effect, what about Charles Barkley? Because Charles Barkley's never won a title.
Charles Barkley, I'm not going to disrespect Charles Barkley. I will put him in that Chris Paul class of being a transcendent player, first ballot Hall of Famer. You want to list the top 5 power forwards? Perhaps Charles is on that list. Well, what I don't want to have is a scrub, and I'll call him a scrub right now. Why the heck not? He called Chris Paul a cone. I'll call him a scrub. I'm not going to have a scrub, not put some respect on Charles Barkley's name. I'm not going to have a scrub, not put some respect on Chris Paul's name. And I'm also not going to have someone who's never won a championship disrespect the Lakers championship. Because the fact of the matter is they played 72 regular season games. Pretty good. We've had a 50-game regular season. We've had a 60-game regular season. Last year, we had a 72-game regular season. So, listen, that's happened before. Not only that, the Lakers would have had the number one seed in the West, and they would have had home court advantage. If you think playing in Orlando, playing in Florida, thousands of miles away from Los Angeles, helped the Lakers, I don't know what to tell you. It didn't. It was a neutral field, neutral court. The Lakers won, and I'm sorry, Patrick Beverley, that you and the Clippers blew a 3-1 lead. That's on you. That's a long-winded way of me saying the Lakers deserve that championship. And by the way, it's not just Patrick Beverley. Laker fans who are forgetting about this are ridiculous. Yes, they traded Brandon Ingram and Josh Hart and Lonzo Ball. But you know what they won? They won a damn title. I promise you, if they had kept those guys, they would have been a good team. They may have been a playoff team. They definitely would not have won a championship.
That bubble year, first round of the playoffs, they play Portland. The trendy pick was to pick the upset, pick the Blazers. Yeah. After the Lakers beat them, it was, oh, they're going to lose to Houston. The trendy pick was to pick Houston.
Yeah.
They beat Houston. Then it was Denver. Again, same thing until the finals. And then after they won it, then everybody wanted to say, nah, you know what? It doesn't even count.
Yeah.
It's like you picked them to lose every step of the way. For the majority of the people that were Lakers haters, they were picking against Lakers, including myself, by the way.
That's fine, yeah.
And then they looked dominant throughout the entire postseason in a condition that everybody was saying is the peak of basketball, the pinnacle of basketball.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden, then people want to discredit them for winning it. They were dominant.
Yeah, the only people that I know personally that have not seen this as a true championship are Celtics fans. They want to make some argument that there are no fans, but realistically, this is one of the toughest championships that's ever been 100%. Won with all the rules and regulations. And it's not like the baseball season where they played 60 games out of 162. They played 72 out of 82. So this is a legitimate season. This was tough for all teams. And that's the same reason why going into the next season, all those teams either lost in the first round or missed the playoffs, because Adam Silver did not give these teams enough time to recover. He wanted the TV deal. He wanted the money. He could have changed the NBA season a little bit later, and he didn't do that. Only a couple months later, and that's the root of the issue. And going back to the Patrick Beverley thing, I'm not that ticked off by the Chris Paul thing. He has a right to his opinion, even though I disagree. But the Lakers bubble one, that's a very bad take.
I'm gonna say this, and we'll end this headline. Winning any kind of championship is hard.
Yep.
So don't sit there and disrespect that bubble championship. Don't disrespect any other kind of championship. Any championship, to win any title, is hard. Mm. Especially something where, like, you're gone from your family, from your friends, from your everything. And we talked about this when this was all going down. It's like, don't disrespect anybody that is trying to vie for a title, and they just spent months, 100 days, like almost 100 days without their family, without friends, I don't want to say comforts of home, because they were still comfortable, but like,
no, but it's hard.
But it's hard. It's very, very difficult. So again, winning any kind of championship is hard. So put respect on that, Pat Bev. It's the NBA draft lottery. Houston, Orlando, and Detroit have the best odds to get the first pick. First of all, do you like the concept of the draft lottery? And who do you think is the number one pick in this year's NBA draft?
I love the draft lottery. I think we have it in hockey. The NFL does not have it. I like the draft lottery. I think for some teams, it's unfortunate. Like, if you're the worst team in the league and you don't get the number one pick, it's unfortunate. But it gives me something to watch. Gives me something to be excited about. Not so much because the Lakers are not, they're not vying for the, top pick. And I can't believe that the Lakers are even would be in that conversation. But of course, they traded it to the Pelicans. But listen, I am truthfully going to punt on the mock draft, because you guys know a lot more about this than I do. But I do love the lottery.
Yeah, I think the lottery, the way it's constructed right now, is good. However, this year, I don't think it really matters who gets the top pick, because I personally think Jaden Ivey could become the best player in this draft. He's projected to go fourth. So Oklahoma City Oklahoma City's eyeing Jaden Ivey, or eyeing a Nikola Jovic, who are two of the best players in this draft that people are sleeping on. They have the ability to be superstars in the league, right? Yeah. They could get those guys at four, or five, at six. Maybe not Ivy, but definitely Nikola Jovic. And they had a surprise selection with Josh Giddey last year, who everyone was saying, why are they drafting this white dude from Australia? Like, he's not good. Like, oh yeah, really? Sam Presti is playing chess. Everyone else is playing checkers. He knows what he's doing. So a team that really needs the number one pick is a team like the Indiana Pacers, that are trying to accelerate a rebuild around Tyrese Haliburton. They're going to get rid of all the bad contracts. And for them to have the option to select a Chet Holmgren to pair with Jalen Smith down low, or even a Jabari Smith, although I'm not as high on Jabari Smith or Paolo as other people, or even a Jaden Ivey in that backcourt with Tyrese Haliburton, would be lethal. Mm-hmm. So I think a team like that needs the number one pick. Detroit and Houston, I don't think they need it. Cade Cunningham is a generational talent, in my opinion, and he'll continue to show that next year. Houston Rockets have Jalen Green. He'll improve, offensively at least. And they've got a good young core, both those teams. I don't think anybody except the Pacers needs the number one pick, considering there'll be so much talent at four this year if Ivy truly falls to that and Jovic falls to that.
I love the lottery process, and the fact that they changed it a couple years ago to make it more evenly distributed to dissuade tanking, I think it was really good for the game. I agree with you, Brandon. I think Jaden Ivey should be the number one prospect on the board, considering the fact that this is becoming a guard-driven league, and it's about wings and switchable defense and all sorts of things like that. I think Ivey is the best prospect. And not to mention, we live in an instant gratification culture, and Chet Holmgren is not going to be instantly ready to play basketball at a high level. And I wonder how that's going to affect his psyche, because I'm not discrediting Chet and saying that he can't be a great player in the league, but I do think it's going to take him a few years to develop. And I know that fans are going to be ruthless as he goes through that development process. I wonder how he handles that.
I mean, he's also been really, really good as far as like media is concerned and stuff like that. He's technically a vet, right? Because what is this? His junior year? No, at Purdue? Jaden,
oh, I think it's his sophomore year. Yeah, similar to the John Morant situation.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Either way, like he has been prepped. Versus like some of these guys, this is going to be their first year really like being looked at as a professional, and I think that he's already in that mind frame and that mindset of being going pro and being in the professional mindset. So I've been high on Ivy forever, like all season long, all year long. I've been high on Ivy, and I know that Armand and I have talked about him off air and how much I'm like obsessed with this kid. So like I can't wait to see him go, and definitely a top five pick, 100%. I think some other people, they'll remain nameless because I'm wearing this Duke hoodie, that should not be going in the top five, but you know what, God bless them. They're going to be great either way, I think, in the NBA. Well, guys, the Western Conference Finals begins tomorrow between the Golden State Warriors and the Dallas Mavs. Circus Sports has the Golden State Warriors as heavy favorites, as they should, but Dallas went 3-1 against them during the regular season. Who do you like in this series?
I like the Warriors tomorrow night, and I like the Warriors to win the series. Listen, they were 3-1 during the course of the season because the Warriors were not themselves. The Warriors are healthy. The Warriors have hit their stride. Listen, they're not the 2019 Warriors when Klay was kind of at his peak, but they are very good. I like the Warriors to win the entire thing. But Luka Doncic, very excited to see him in this big stage Western Conference Finals, and we talked about this. I mean, Game 7, that was his time to shine, and it was. And I think that will enable them to perhaps make this a very good series, that confidence that they got. But I still like the Warriors.
I don't think the Warriors should be heavy favorites in this series, considering the way they played against Memphis. They realistically should have lost that series if John Morant was available at the end of games. The offense was stagnant. They did not make shots. They're so live by the sword, die by the sword. Like I said yesterday, Dallas rotates on defense. They have elite defenders. They have so many guys who can step up. If Spencer Dinwiddie and Jalen Brunson play the way I think they can, along with Luka Doncic obviously averaging 40 points per game, this is going to be about who makes the shots down the stretch. And I trust Luka Doncic more than Stephen Curry to make these big time shots. I think the Mavericks will win in 6 and 7 games.
Dude, that's bold.
That's awesome.
I don't think it's bold. The advanced statistics.
You should have said Brandon to Vegas with you.
I don't think that's bold at all.
Steph Curry versus Luka? Come on, man.
Luka's a better player right now, and he will be for the next 10 years. I'm sorry.
I'm not saying that Luka's not going to be a great player down the road and that he's not a great player right now, but Steph has showed you that he is a great.
What has he done in big games?
I mean, he's showed you consistency as opposed, and he has won titles as opposed.
He has, but he wasn't Finals MVP. I don't want to get into an argument here, but I don't trust Steph in big games.
But Luka hasn't won a Finals MVP either.
Yeah, so. But he's 23. Tatum hasn't won a Finals MVP. Ja hasn't won a Finals MVP. Steph Curry's 34 years old almost.
I get that, but I mean, he's at least showed you that he can win
the big one. Yeah, he's great, but I just think Dallas has momentum going into the series. They were a dark horse to go to the finals. They had won 13 out of their last 20 games. They were coming for that third spot ahead of Golden State going into the playoffs. I have Dallas in 6 or 7 games, although I can see why everyone's going to pick the Warriors. No, but they did the same thing with the Suns. Vegas was like, the Suns are going to win in 4, 5, 6, and look what happened.
Well, and also Vegas unfortunately does get, you know, that pummeled with like all these people betting and being let's you know, buy in on the favorite. So if a lot of people are going to be like, let me buy in on Golden State.
I'll give you this though. The Warriors have experience over them. So that could push them over the edge, but I'm taking Dallas in 6 or 7.
I'm with Brandon. I think Dallas is a bad matchup for Golden State. I don't know who on Golden State is going to guard Luka Doncic, and the two guys that they might put on him, Otto Porter Jr. and Andre Iguodala, are both injured right now. And then you look at the fact that you're going to probably have to send double teams at Luka the whole series, whereas when the game gets down to the wire in the fourth quarter, like you mentioned, Brandon, it's going to become about isolation basketball and who can get a basket. And I don't trust Steph Curry in that kind of environment,
100%.
Or Klay Thompson for that matter. It's probably going to be Jordan Poole's responsibility to bring games home.
Yeah, and I trust Jordan Poole, but like, look at Steph Curry's advanced shooting metrics this year. Worst of his career.
Yeah.
They're learning how to guard him. Klay Thompson has been up and down. You're going to have to rely on Jordan Poole to make those shots.
And people talk about the Celtics defense. I don't know if you guys saw the clip about the Jason Kidd on the sideline. That Dallas defense is very good. I agree with you. Dallas and six.
Top 10 defenses here.
How great would it have been if Jason Kidd was the head coach of the Lakers?
They had the opportunity.
Jared Dudley on his staff.
Ty Lue, Monty Williams, Jason Kidd. They had the pick of the litter and they didn't convert.
At the end of the day, I really hope that like Curry comes out and just busts on all of you guys. Like, I just hope that he proves all of you wrong and just like...
It's the old school versus the new school. Yeah. I like this.
Maybe he gets a finals MVP. I don't know. I'd love that for him. That'd be great. Prove me wrong.
Well, last but not least, we always obviously have to always go to the Lakers on this show because this is the Arash Markazi show. We talk about the Lakers every single day. The Lakers would have been in the running for a top pick, guys, had it not been traded to the Pelicans in the Anthony Davis trade. Could the fear of missing out on top selections drive this offseason's decision, especially with the Russell Westbrook trade? And Rob Pelinka was pretty adamant about keeping the 2027 first round pick.
I think so. I am going to pass to Brandon. We have about 60 seconds. Listen, he has a great column up. So Brandon, hit this.
Yeah, my mock GM part two Lakers series about the Russell Westbrook trade in part two. I go into it and it really explains all the salary cap issues, trade options. I personally would do the Indiana trade and give up, say, F them picks and give up those two picks because right now you're in this situation. But there's been continued traction towards Rob Pelinka keeping Westbrook and for whatever reason is enamored by keeping the 2027-2029 picks. I don't love that. I think it needs to happen. You need to get him off the team if you want any shot at competing next year.
Yeah.
Never know. He might have a crystal ball.
Hope so. Yeah. All right. Let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we will be joined by our good friend, the sports god, Dave Smith, when we return on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas. Play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details. This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clown with the underground
when we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or a comment or want to take us to a future Galaxy game, call our hotline, 310-400-0340. Okay, let's go to the Circa Sports guest hotline. Circa Million, Circa Survivor Pro Football Contest with $12 million in guaranteed prizes are back. Visit CircaSports.com. For details, and here he is, my old boss, my good friend, Dave Smith. Dave, the sports god, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm good, Ross. How are you doing? Good to be back on with you again.
Good to have you, Dave. So much to get into today, and I do have to start with the Lakers because a lot of our conversations over the past couple of years have been surrounding this team. Russell Westbrook, Dave, you were the first one that I talked to that said this will be a colossal failure, and I don't think anyone could have foreseen it being this terrible of a failure. I mean, from day one, it was terrible, and now there are reports, Dave. Phil Jackson is in the ear of Genie Bus. Phil Jackson has a lot of say-so, and he is of the mindset, Dave, amazingly. Let's run it back. Let's see what this looks like if Russell Westbrook is back with this team. Dave, what the heck is going on here?
Well, why is it nobody listens to my great advice, Arash Markazi? You know, I begged him to take Jason Tatum over Lonzo Ball when Magic was running when he was president of basketball operations. They didn't listen, and now they got to do something with Westbrook. He's got to be the guy who has to go. But you know, I've known Jeannie a long time. She used to come in and do an hour with me every week, Arash, and, on the radio. I love Jeannie as a person, but there's too many cooks in the kitchen here. I mean, she likes to have a collaborative discussion on how to fix this franchise. That doesn't work. She's got to take charge. Remember when Dr. Buss was in charge, Arash?
Yeah.
He made the financial decisions. Jerry Buss made the basketball decisions. Pat Riley coached the team. That's the way it needs to be. She needs to lose and block Phil Jackson's phone number, Magic Johnson's phone number, the Rambis family phone number. Phil is a horrible front office executive. And look at the decisions he made hiring coaches in New York. Magic's awful running a front office. Those are the last two people in the world you'd want to take advice from with front office decisions. And the Rambis family, are you kidding me? Jeannie needs to step up. I'm running the franchise and making the financial decisions. Rob Pelinka is my president of basketball operations. He makes basketball decisions, and the new coach will coach the players. That's it. Streamline it. Give everybody responsibilities and forget what the advisors kind of lose their numbers, Jeannie.
Dave, your thoughts on the playoffs so far? I mean, the performance from Chris Paul in Game 7, again, you have a home game, a decisive Game 7, and I covered Chris with the Clippers, and I don't know why this is, Dave. He will save the worst moments of his entire career for the biggest moments of his career. Your thoughts on just the Suns flaming out like that? Like, they had a fantastic season, the number one seed in the league, and for them to not only to lose, Dave, but to be down by 40-plus points in the fourth quarter. Yeah.
They're down by 46 in the fourth quarter. They're down by 30 in the first half. They only scored 27 points. And yeah, you're right about CP3, Arash. I mean, you covered the Clippers, and we both interviewed him. Five times now, he's lost series where his team's had a 2-0 series lead. No NBA player in history has more than three times that's happened to them. So, yeah, this is a disturbing pattern of behavior for CP3, not coming through, especially at the end of series and especially in big games. And I got to give credit to Jason Kidd here. I've never really been a fan of him as a head coach, Arash, but you watch that New Orleans Pelican series. Willie Green did a horrible job of defending CP3. They ran high pick and roll every time. He turned the corner. Then they wound up with Valanciunas guarding him, a 7-footer. And Chris, you know, would dribble and dance and shoot that elbow jump shot, and he made one after another after another. Boy, Dallas blitzed him, doubled him, forced him to give up the ball, wore out those 37-year-old legs, Arash. That's the way you got to play him. Force him to give up the ball, blitz him, make him play defense, tire him out. And boy, that's been a pattern of behavior, unfortunately, for him throughout his career.
Dave, as a Lakers fan, I obviously don't want to see the Boston Celtics win a championship.
But no.
They've played extremely well. They win Game 7, a blowout. They are... Not the favorites, according to Vegas. The Golden State Warriors are the slight favorites, but the Boston Celtics are right there. Dave, your thoughts on the Celtics? Can the Celtics, and we don't want to see it, we don't even want to speak it to existence, can they possibly win the whole thing?
Unfortunately, yes. And that's, you know, speaking as a lifelong Lakers fan, as you are, Arash Markazi, I think Ime Udoka has done a fantastic job as a first-year coach there. Boy, you talk about defense. Now, Marcus Smart has the injured foot. That could be a problem here against Miami. But, boy, they've got length. They've got good athletes. They can defend the perimeter. They switch those screens. I love the way they play defense. And did you see Brad Stevens' quote last week? Arash, it was funny. And he said, I should win Executive of the Year in the NBA this year. And a reporter asked him why, and he said, for firing myself as the head coach. I should be Executive of the Year.
Hey, Dave, thank you again for joining us. Armand here. There was a report, we don't know how much of this was true, about Phil Jackson potentially wanting to trade LeBron. What kind of... where does your head go when you hear that rumor?
Even though LeBron was 37, he had an MVP caliber season this year. It wasn't his fault. But now, it was his fault the way the roster was constructed, because he forced the Westbrook trade on the Lakers. But as far as play on the court, he was great. What, 38-8, and he averaged over 50% shooting from the floor. And that's another thing Jeannie needs to do. She needs to tell LeBron and Clutch that from this point forward, they have absolutely no say in any personnel decisions. Just get out there and play basketball. But no, I think he's the last guy you'd want to trade. Number one, he's still a great player. If you get AD healthy next year and you can somehow move Westbrook and maybe make some roster moves with Rob Pelinka, you know, who knows? This is LeBron we're talking about. I wouldn't count him out on winning another championship maybe in the future. But, and what do you get for him? As great as he is, though, at 38 years old, he's going to want to go to a contender. He's going to have a very, very short list of teams that he would want to go to. If you're a contending team, are you going to give up like if you're Cleveland, you're going to trade Darius Garland and Evan Mobley and lottery picks for LeBron? Hell no. I mean, what can you get for him realistically at this point that's equal value?
100%, Dave. This is Brandon here. I wanted to ask you about the coaching search for the Lakers because, you know, they interviewed a couple of assistants, the Toronto Raptors assistant, the Milwaukee Bucks assistant, and a couple high-level coaches. At this point in time, what direction, based on the rumblings you've heard and who's in the position of power in the organization, like you mentioned, Jeannie, Kurt, Linda, you know, Magic, Phil, advising, which decision do you think they will make at this point in time in their coaching search?
Well, that's a good question. I would say if you listen to Phil and if you listen to the Rambus and Magic, you're going to make the bad decision with the yeah. next head coach. And I will say right now, thank God Doc Rivers is going to be back with the 76ers next year because I think the Lakers were going to hire this guy, which would have been a disaster. That's a question. Do you go young assistant like a Darvin Ham, maybe a Sam Cassell, or I tell you, my number one choice. I don't know if he's available. I think Nick Nurse is one of the best coaches in the NBA.
Well,
he did a fantastic job. He's if there's any interest at all, I'm pressing and I'm giving him an open check to come coach the Lakers. That's my number one choice.
Dave, your thoughts on Major League Baseball? For the first time, the two New York teams first place in their division, and the two teams from Los Angeles or in the Los Angeles market first place. Is this good for the game? And your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I think it is. You know, with baseball, you know, Arash, the interest in baseball, especially with people under 30, under 40 years old, has just been circling the drain for a long time now. So I think getting those big markets is a good thing that L.A. and New York are both really good right now, the Angels, the Dodgers, the Mets, and the Yankees. I think it's good for baseball. But, you know, they've done a horrible job at marketing the game, Rod Manfred in baseball, of marketing the game to the younger generation, of making it more interesting, of making it more watchable. So I think that more than anything else is what baseball needs to do. How do we get the under 30 and under 40 crowd? Because, you know, Arash, every single demographic poll I've seen, when you ask people what is your favorite sport, the only good demographic that says baseball is their favorite sport is white men over 50. See, that's their problem. That's baseball's problem. They've got to find a way to get youngsters watching baseball again.
Okay, so let me bring this up. When you talk about younger fans, so there's a lot of new young fans in the fight game, Dave, but they know Jake Paul. They know the Paul brothers. They don't know about the best pound-for-pound fighters. Do you think that that's a good thing, that at the very least they are watching boxing, they are familiar, they know the sport? Now the hope, I'm assuming, is once they watch a Paul brothers fight, they'll stick around for, like, the real true champions. Your thoughts on that?
You know what, Arash, you know, we've talked about this before. Yeah. There's a lot of old school hardcore boxing guys who hate this, the Paul brothers and the Triller stuff and the celebrities and the exhibitions and bringing the old timers back. But I remember when Jake Paul, it was either Jake or Logan about 3 or 4 years ago, fought another YouTube guy from England at the Forum. And there was, 15,000 people there? And I'd never heard of either one of these guys. So I'm of the opinion here, anything that puts eyeballs on the sport and creates new fans is a good thing. So you know what? If it's the Paul brothers, if it's YouTube guys, if people are watching, maybe they watch that and say, hey, I love this. This is great stuff. And they become fight fans, Arash, because boxing's kind of fallen off the cliff compared to where it used to be in the 80s and 90s as well. So we need new young fans. And, you know, and I think I'm one of the few people who's a fan of Jake Paul here, Arash, and guys. Yeah. He pays his undercard fighters double what anybody else pays them. Look, he made Amanda Serrano a millionaire. He's been great for women's boxing at raising their purses here. And I think he's generous with his money. He pays his undercard guys. Now, was he ever going to be a world champion? No. But I like what he's doing, bringing interest into the sport.
Yeah. Dave, really quick, back to baseball. With this Angels start, how realistic is it that we see this team actually make noise in the postseason?
Well, the first thing you have to remember is the curse of the sports god I put on them in 2009, and it's been a disaster ever since. Now, the only way that curse gets removed is if they win the World Series, so we'll see. But they look good so far. You know, Rendon still looks like a bust, but when you have Trout, and what can you say about Ohtani, the Babe Ruth of this generation, pitching and hitting, and they get some good young talent out there, and finally it looks like they've addressed that starting pitching, which has been a horrible problem over the last few years. Yeah, I definitely think they're going to be in the playoffs this year, either as a wild card or a division winner.
And Dave, I also had a question about the Dodgers. I know the Angels have looked like the better team so far this year, especially after the Dodgers losing 3 out of 4 to Philadelphia. Should have been a sweep, by the way. Bryce Harper just stole their soul that series. Pitching's been an issue for the Dodgers, especially with Kershaw going on the IL. Do you see the depth stepping up? Is this Dodgers team going to win 100 games, or is it going to be a San Francisco or San Diego division winner and the Dodgers might have to go back to the wild card? As of right now, obviously it's a long season.
It's going to be a three-team race. I think obviously the Dodgers have the best team, but you know San Francisco was great last year. And here's a question I got to ask you guys. Does Trevor Bauer, he got a two-year suspension for Major League Baseball, even though no charges were filed, and the restraining order was overturned, and they said there was no evidence to prosecute, and he's appealing this now. Do you think that's going to get bumped down, and maybe we'll see him pitching this year for the Dodgers? Because they could certainly use another good starting pitcher.
That's a great question, and here's what I want to know is, what does Major League Baseball know? Because they put down the suspension, but we don't know exactly what they found out. Now, so Trevor Bauer, he's either stupid or doesn't think that they have anything. Well, and so, you know, I mean, at the very least, he's putting Major League Baseball, they now have to come forward and say, this is why we've suspended you for 2 years.
Yeah, I was going to just add
you
on.
You brought up a...
Yeah, go ahead, Dave. I'll go
after. You brought up a great point there, Arash. Sorry to interrupt. You brought up a great point. If there was a six-month investigation by the L.A. District Attorney's Office. Yeah. No evidence, no charges. We've got nothing to prosecute here. Charges dropped. But the girl tried to put a restraining order on him. The judge said, what, are you kidding? I mean, I read the text you two sent back and forth. She wouldn't even give her a restraining order. But Major League Baseball suspension for 2 years. We need to know, what do they know that the L.A. District Attorney's Office did not uncover here? They've got to be transparent. What is it? And if they don't know anything, if they're just doing this kind of willy-nilly because of the charges, boy, Trevor Bauer's got a great lawsuit here.
Yeah, and I don't think it's about what Major League Baseball found in regards to the local investigation. I think it's more about Trevor Bauer being outspoken as an athlete, exposing the lies, especially with the spider tack a couple of years back, and him being adamant that he was innocent and not taking a deal. Aroldis Chapman a couple of years back was, you know, dinged for domestic violence at least once, probably maybe even twice over the past couple of seasons, but he had a 60-game suspension. That's because he took the deal with the MLB. He wasn't cooperative. Yep. Bauer was not cooperative. I think this is just Rob Manfred continuing to blackball or blueball or whatever you want to say to Trevor Bauer and not allow him to have a voice in the league. There is a certain kind of corruption that I think will still be coming out in the next couple of years with baseball. And Bauer was kind of the first person, especially as an athlete, very smart engineer type brain to expose those lies. And I think they're just kind of unfairly putting this on him with the suspension. I do think it gets appealed and it gets put down. The question then remains, will the Dodgers media team and marketing want to put this guy back, you know, in the city of Hollywood and woke culture and cancel culture and all of that?
Yeah, that's well,
you just brought up the woke and get that's a great point. And all right, guys, let's be straight shooters here and let's be honest, because you know, Ross, that's what you and I do.
Exactly.
This is a woke, politically correct commissioner, Rob Manfred, and the owners who, in my opinion, unjustly moved the All-Star Game out of Atlanta. All that did was cost local businesses and mostly black businesses probably $200 million in revenue over the All-Star Game. Even Stacey Abrams came out and said that was a mistake. So it does not help him in any way at all that he's openly MAGA and he's an open, outspoken Donald Trump supporter. I don't think that helped him when he came to this suspension here, Arash.
Yeah, and so the bigger question is, where is the team? So let's just play this out. Let's just say he appeals it, the suspension gets reduced, he's in a position where he can come back. Where are the Dodgers? Do they need him? Because I don't think if they don't need him, well, yes, right? You know, because it's sort of kind of like... you know, again, you hate to bring this comparison, but a little bit like the Colin Kaepernick situation where will this be worth? Because you know if you bring him back, there's going to be the attention, media, pushback. You're going to have to deal with a lot of stuff. Do you think that that's worth it? And then that at that point, the team has to come to a conclusion of, Yes, it's worth it. No, it's not. With a team like the Dodgers, though, Dave, they have the ability, because of their farm system, because of how deep they are, they can trade for a pitcher. Is he going to be as good as Trevor Bauer at the height of Bauer when he won the Cy Young? No. But it's going to be good enough, and because I don't think that this team wants to deal with the Trevor Bauer, you know, all the media, all the headlines and all that stuff. And by the way, Dave, to your point, you know, if this was in Atlanta or somewhere else, maybe they could get away with it. And then in Los Angeles, I just don't think that there's a shot.
But he'll never play for the Dodgers again, I don't think. But the problem is, if baseball doesn't have the goods on him, like smoking gum, like outrageous stuff here about his behavior, that suspension's going to get overturned or bumped way down from the 2 years. So it'll be interesting to see exactly what they have on him. And how about the difference in the two sports guys? Deshaun Watson's got 22 sexual assault charges pending against him, and he gets a $235 million guaranteed contract. Trevor Bauer has all charges dropped by the DA, and he gets a 2-year suspension. It's amazing.
It's incredible in terms of like how that trade went down, the contract that he got, and almost no one's talking about it. I mean, some people are bringing it up, but 22! It's such a massive number. I mean, you know, if you could have like one accuser, two, but 22, I mean, it's incredible.
I would imagine Houston is a big, isn't that the fourth biggest city in the United States, Arash?
Yeah. I mean, 100%.
Probably lots of great massage therapists in Houston that you can go to, you would think. He's got to fly in Instagram models from all over the country and set them up in 5-star hotels. These were booty calls. These weren't massages. Come on. We all know what this is.
Oh, my God.
Sad part, too, is there's an app for that, by the way.
The
sad part too is
what's that, Ross? I couldn't hear it.
Sorry, it's G. Hit it. The sad part too is there's an app for that.
It's crazy, right?
Like you can actually download an app and be like, please come to my home, like not even worrying about any of this. Like there's an app for everything. Like you could have just easily made this so much easier and just had an app. Like somebody off an app come to your home. I'm not saying that he should, but.
But normally these players have like one trainer, one masseuse, one chef, 22. I mean, 22. That number is
and he's
so
got a
staggering.
Room at a 5-star. He's got a room at a 5-star hotel in Houston where he sets them up when he flies them in for. Now I know, Ross, you and I do that all the time. We fly in massage therapists from all over the country. But an NFL quarterback, he's got more to lose here with that publicity, doesn't he?
Oh, 100%. I mean, it's the number is so staggering. You know, when you talk about like. 22 different people say this about him, and he gets traded in one of the biggest trades in league history and signs the richest contract. I mean, 100%, Dave, it's a great point. You know, where we are at with baseball and the National Football League, it's incredible.
Hey, Ross, I had one more question for you. Did you watch the Triller show at the Forum the other night?
I wanted to go, actually, but I missed it.
I tell you what, Fernando Vargas is three, and I've known Fernando since he was 19 years old, and to see the man that he's become and the great father he is and the love those three kids have for him and the loyalty, all three of them fought on that show and they all won, the oldest and the youngest by knockout. I'm going to tell you here, Arash, Emiliano Vargas, the kid who just turned 18 and made his pro debut, we have a superstar coming up in boxing. This kid is the goods, Arash. I don't know. Go on YouTube and watch this fight here. The hand speed and the punching power. Fernando Jr. is a good fighter. Amato is a really good fighter. They could both be world champ. Emiliano is a superstar. I'm telling you, Arash.
Man, I'm so that first thing I'm going to do once we're done with the show today, go on YouTube and check that out. Dave, you are
amazing.
The best. I'm so glad to have you back on the air. Hopefully you'll joining us every Tuesday. So Dave, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it. Thank you. God bless, Arash.
Thanks, Dave. You're the best. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe, stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hustle for the cash, so it's hard to knock it. Everybody got their own thing. Currency chasing worldwide through the hard times.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.